and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. Welcome to the Urban Cafe. This is part two of a conversation that is long overdue. We are talking about sexual violence, which includes harassment, assault, and rape culture. We are going to discuss how the prevalence of sexual misconduct is in our workplace, educational systems, and families, and how that intersects and affects all lines of people. Let's have a conversation where all sides can speak up and be heard. For if we do not discover the root of the problem, we cannot create the effective solution.
WMNF 88.5 Tampa. You're about to listen to the Urban Cafe.
First of all, what you are doing is monumental.
What you do is so important here.
I think of you all as giving us a perspective on popular culture.
I appreciate the discussion, and it's a really kind of complicated one.
My comment is towards
I want to go back to a caller called about he had a bed bug problem.
You know, you're the next generation of MNF.
And everybody can do that.
And your real voices and what you really think and what you're really concerned about.
Yes, my name is Brian. I'm calling from Winter Haven.
Yes, I was wondering if we could talk about...
You're bringing it out, and then you let your listeners call in and text in.
But you're also giving us perspective on how it impacts real people's lives.
And I just like to say that each of your topics is so fascinating.
People don't think it's a big deal, but I think that's a really big thing.
And that's what's so important.
And that's the qualitative difference in what you're doing.
The Urban Cafe welcomes your opinion. Join the conversation. Call now, 813-239-9663.
That talk to me, yeah. Again, good morning on this beautiful, breezy, cool Sunday. Easy like a Sunday morning. Yep. Got a little skills, you know, but I do the poetry. I don't really be singing. I leave that to Val. So, you know, good morning. This is Low with the Flow here with the crew. I have Val Trinda.
Hey.
Good morning.
Hey.
Yeah. I have Jamal.
Good morning.
It's Jamal. And we have some guests in the house. I'll introduce them shortly. We have Joe, that is our visual engineer. He's
That's
doing
right.
the camera. And
I like it.
Yeah, I like that. Visual engineer. Yeah, VA. We have...
VE.
VE?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I can't spell.
In other languages, it's an I.
It's VE. But we have Sam, that's our technician for this morning.
Good morning.
All right, Sam's on it. Then we have the lovely Miss Tina Marie.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, okay, and good night.
And of course, we're live on Facebook here. Again, we have Joe that's manning that. We're going to have some callers calling in. So callers, definitely let us know what you want to talk about specifically, because it's going to be a live show and we want to make sure that we get to your point and get to it quickly. And, you know, we have DT running around here somewhere, and he's hype about the show today, but it's going to be a great show. Like I said, we have some guests in here that I'm going to introduce in just a moment. But before we get into the topic, which again is sexual violence, which includes sexual harassment, assault, and the rape culture itself. And I want to, this time around, this is part two, so this time around, I do want to revisit just like the sexual battery, having an understanding of what that is and maybe the differences of it. And then also, in a sense, I want to kind of work backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to revisit the workplace, mm-hmm. but then I want to work backwards, and I want to address how different cultures intersect as far as college. You know, because once you go to college, where do you go next? You're looking for a
job,
true. Right?
Yeah.
And then I want to, you know, before you go to college, you know, what's your experience there? It's your family. So I want to kind of go, you know, have that angle to it.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely, you know, just open up the conversation and, you know, have a great conversation this morning about this topic. So
yeah, and we'll go ahead and give them the phone number so they can have that ahead of time. 813-239-9663. Again, 813-239-9663. And also you can send in a text, 813-433-0885.
Yes, thank you, Tina, for that.
Anytime. I got all these numbers ready.
Got them on deck. So we want to go into the LDE tips, and we do have the man himself today, Christopher Brown, in the building, so I'll be reintroducing him in
CB.
A moment. CB.
Okay,
not CA. CB. All right, so we're going to introduce in just a moment, but we want to go over the safety tips to help keep your winter safe. So the first one, you know, Make sure you don't allow your water pipes inside or outside to freeze by letting the outside water valves to slightly continue flowing, and then the inside kitchen pipes to be exposed to the heat in your home by leaving your cabinets doors open at night. Interesting. When using a space heater, use the correct size for that particular space. Using a bigger heater in a smaller space only enhances the probability of a fire. Never leave the space heater on while you sleep. The correct method would be to preheat the room or area while you're awake and turn it off while you sleep. The heater should be 2 feet from the wall and have a 3 feet buffer zone from people. 4. Don't use the fireplace if you don't know for sure if the chimney has been cleaned. It will create gas and smoke inside your home and could cause death. The last, do not use a gas or electric oven to heat up your home. Gas ovens create carbon monoxide, and electric ovens are designed to cook, not to put out heat. Therefore, you can burn out the coils or create an electrical explosion. Note, if you are exposed to carbon monoxide or an electrical explosion, immediately seek fresh air or an oxygen mask as you move to the safe area from the exposure. And we definitely want to thank Lockdown Brown LGE executives for these winter safety tips. Thanks
yes,
so much.
It's funny how we have winter safety tips in Florida. Like, that just don't seem like it should go together.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I'm just saying.
What has it been, like, below 40 degrees?
It's just been below.
It's been great.
Just below.
It's been wonderful.
I don't like it.
On some days I love it, some days I don't, of course. But I wanted to touch back on a couple of these tips here, where it says never leave the space heater on while you sleep. The correct method would be to preheat the room or area. And maybe this is a safety precaution that you should still use, even though you may be able to purchase certain heaters where the manufacturer states like it'll automatically cut off. You know, you may want to play it safe and just go ahead and just cut it totally off, you know, because as we're sleeping, you know, these electrical devices are not human. So, you know, we may want to be careful and just err on the side of caution and just cut them off, even though the manufacturer may state that it'll automatically have a shut off, you know, because I have a little space heater as well, and I tend to practice that. Does any of these tips kind of stand out to anybody else?
Well, let's just be honest, though. A space heater in Florida, I realize, but you don't really need it. Start layering. Wear socks. Put an extra blanket on, you'll be fine.
Well, I think it depends on the type of house people live in. Some people live in, you know, trailers or, you know, different homes that the walls are kind of thin. So at night, yeah, when it's like 30-something degrees, socks and a blanket really ain't going to do it. Not all the time, you know, and it depends on some people's blood levels.
Pull the dog into bed.
Oh, no.
I have both my dogs. Sleeping forward to a bed. Both my dogs be with me. They're chilling.
Exactly. Chilling.
Chilling.
Because it's chilly.
Look, I just have multiple pillows and a heavy down comforter. I'm good. You know. Definitely. So, yes, let's move it right along. You know, so thank you again, LDE, for those great tips for the winter. And we want to move right along, and we want to begin introducing our guest today.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have a live show with some awesome guests with vast experience.
Can I want to...
I like it.
So we have Colonel Brown, Christopher Lockdown Brown, again, is an esteemed ex-law enforcement officer, ex-military personnel, and trained martial artist. Colonel Brown specializes in security. His company, Lockdown Executives, is a comprehensive and elite agency that specializes in executive security with highly trained law enforcement and military professionals. All right. So he'll begin speaking in just a little bit. I also want to go ahead and introduce Dr. Marquita Wills. She's in the building.
Yes.
We're hoping to see her more actively in the building going forward. She is a board certified and Harvard trained psychiatrist for over 13 years with a master's in business administration from the Wharton School of Business. She has a website, Healthy Mind MDs, that she shares with a partner in which the mission is to help and empower others to live emotionally healthy lives. She is a co-author of Going Beyond Crazy and a board member of National Alliance of Mental Illness. When that book, Going Beyond Crazy, comes out, I want a signed autograph, and you have to let me know.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. We'll be at the book release.
What? Yes.
For real. Did you just invite
here.
Yourself?
Yes.
I think she did. Yeah, right.
Absolutely. Trust me. We authors don't mind. Just come on. Buy a book. So I know she don't mind.
So I want to actually throw to Tina. Tina has this great platform that she's launching. So it'll be an excellent time for her to explain what she's been involved with lately.
Yeah, amongst the many other things. things. But I'm actually going to have Mr. LDE himself kind of give the foundation of it as far as the training and therefore, and I'll go into the details of it as far as like from a woman's perspective, if that makes any sense.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Thank you very much. Proceed.
Okay. Well, first of all, we've LDE has established a training format called Tina Training. And part of the Tina Training was inspired by yours truly, Miss Tina Hollywood herself.
Oh, wow.
Tina carries around a
bag of socks.
Well, I've upgraded.
Silver dollars.
So what happened? I was working on some training techniques for women's self-defense. And when I got through writing the words out, the acronym came out, TINA. And in TINA training, the acronym stands for Tactical Immediate Neutralizing Action. But when I wrote it out, I was like, wow, this spells TINA. And then I got to learn and talk to TINA a little more, got to learn a little about TINA. And then I always saw her carrying these rocks, and I always saw her talking about some different things that she'll share with you later on in the show. And I came up with the concept that we can use this and to help protect people, to help protect women. But TINA training is not just a regular self-defense course. In the LDE and everything else that we do, we strive to be the best and we use the best. And I am truly blessed to have individuals that are next to me that are involved in TINA training. One of the individuals is we have Grandmaster Earl Harris.
Yes.
And Lowe's going to go over some of his accolades, and also have Master John Footman. And if John Footman looks familiar, he's been in a couple of movies and he played a couple of doubles, and you know, he looks like Billy Blank. So what's been around? But I'm going to let Ms. Lowe go ahead and read out some of the accolades of Grandmaster Earl Harris and Master John Footman.
Yes, I definitely would love to introduce Grandmaster Earl Harris. And I do want to mention, before I go into your bio, that this is a man that I actually trained under. And he also assisted the Ladies of Dress for Success with self-defense training. So, again, I do thank you for that. So I'm going to be at something because of you. Grandmaster Earl Harris, born and raised in Tampa, Florida, served in the U.S. Army as a military police instructor. He has over 50 years of martial arts experience. He is a 10th degree black belt and was inducted in the Florida Black Belt Hall of Fame. He is the founder of the Earl Harris Karate System, which has over 5 different martial art disciplines. Grandmaster Harris graduated from the United Fighting Arts Federation, in which his diploma was signed off by the Chuck Norris.
All right.
Thank you.
Grandmaster Harris enjoys instructing, in which one of his personal quotes states, "Martial arts is a science, and there is always room for learning." Everyone, let's welcome Grandmaster Harris to the show.
All right. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here today this morning and with the DLT team, the TINA team. We're here to, like Colonel Brown said, to improve the organization, to make it stronger and better. I was born and raised here in Tampa, Florida. Tampa's my hometown. Graduated here in Plant City, Florida.
Okay.
At Marshall High School. And after I graduated from high school, I say about 3 months later, I joined the United States Army. Took my training in the Army, and as I got up, of course, I was always involved in martial arts before I went into service. Matter of fact, I got my first degree black belt at the age of 18. And then I started training and then started working with different martial artists throughout. And as Lo had just stated, that when I finally met the legendary pioneer Chuck Norris, I started training with the United Fighting Arts Federation. That's his association. And I joined his association to learn other Taekwondo martial arts as well. Then I went on to train with other martial arts instructors. Like I said, I have 5 disciplines in the martial art.
Mm-hmm.
Been working with different type master instructors, from Japanese to Korean to Chinese. and also in the weapons department. Mm-hmm. Now, while I was in the service, the United States Army, I was trained the military police and the apprehension, the search and procedure, and also the common laws. It was a very experience, and I started training and working hard, and also at the same time training and teaching, I was also competing on the national and international circuit. So, you know, so I've been doing some training throughout the world. Where I've met a lot of different people and different type of martial artists, master instructors, and so on. And I have been, I moved back here in Florida, Tampa, in Brandon, which I located. Opened my first martial arts school in Brandon, which been operating for the past 19 years.
Awesome.
With my lovely wife, Deborah. I have taught over, well over 1,000 students. I have at least over 800 black belts that I have promoted. As a matter of fact, I got one sitting right here next to me now, John right. Footman. So, you know, now also got not all just black belt been trained and got their black belt, but a few of them, say six of them already had done, gone out to do their own martial arts school, operate their own martial arts school, such as I have my son and my daughter, Keon, which he was supposed to be here today, but he told us his regards and everything. But anyway, he has a school, and my daughter, Brianna Harris, she has her martial arts school, so it all runs in the family and everything. So I'm very blessed to have that happening, to have my our siblings to carry on the legacy of what I have built, and you know, it's a lot of fun.
You know, I'm curious. Does Mrs. Deborah Harris know how to perform to do martial arts well?
Yes, she does. She also she got up to about brown belt level and everything like that, and I keep her going,
right?
Exercise and stuff like that. Yeah, but everybody would tease me that she is the black belt. In the office part, yeah,
okay, right.
Yeah,
she's the administrator. Yeah, she takes charge.
Right, she takes charge, and if she keeps me in line, but
that's why she's in charge.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, but she does a good work in keeping the business going and everything, the overseas everything, and you know, that's one thing. We're working together for so long. We've been married now, going on 35 years.
Blessings.
You know, she have a place in the office. She operate. I have my place on the floor, and you know, we are a very good team.
Awesome.
Very good team.
Well, yeah. Again, you know, thank you, and we want to welcome you. You know, as part of the show this morning.
Thank you.
And as you stated, you have your apprentice, you know, near you, Mr. Foot.
Yeah.
This is also someone that I trained under recently, and it was a great experience. And he is actually a fifth-degree black belt in Taekwondo and Hapkido.
Hapkido.
All right. 20 years of law enforcement and over 30 years of martial arts experience. So I would like to bring him on to also introduce him, so he can elaborate more on his actual experience and how his involvement with the Tina training as well.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I cannot compare to Grandmaster Harris. I am still his understudy.
Okay.
He brought me along when I first started martial arts training. And believe it or not, I quit after my first fight because I got beat up.
Oh, wow.
He brought me under his wing and said, you know, you need to slow down, discipline yourself, which he gave me a great introduction to discipline, and in which I excel. I fought the circuit along with him as a green belt, brown belt, and red belt until I became a black belt. And I branched out into traditional Taekwondo, which was full contact fighting, which I enjoyed immensely. And again, because of the discipline that allowed me to revamp my skills, improve my skills, and make myself more of an adversary rather than just some wild man out there wanting to fight people. And it coaches my mind a whole lot about the art of being disciplined and not wanting to hurt people, mm-hmm. but also not trying to get hurt.
Exactly. And I love how you put that.
He was very instrumental in bringing that to me. My portion of law enforcement is still continuing. I'm a law enforcement person. I teach defensive tactics in law enforcement as well as teach new incoming deputies in the academy how to do their duties. And I teach them that, I'll tell them rather, that we don't teach deputies to fight people. We teach them to defend ourselves and keep from getting hurt and hurting others as well. So again, that discipline that I have inquired, I try to give to other people as well. I've had a school for, I said about 10 years, but my passion for law enforcement overwhelmed me, so I couldn't do both. So I let the school go and I continue my job as a law enforcement person. Again, the mention of me being in a movie, I had a bit part in one movie, and for some reason, a gentleman by the name of Billy Blinks kind of had the same appearance as me, and everybody thought that was me. So all of a sudden, I became an overnight sensation. And I've had to live this down, you know, because every time someone sees me, they say, "You." I said, "No, I'm not. Not him. Not him."
You know what? Good problems. Those are good problems.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But again, it has never been my idea to go around beating up people. And today's youth, they seem to think that they embrace fighting as a form of excitement. And I'm telling you, it's good until you get the short end of the stick. And then you call in a cop. I got beat up. Because you started it. So you got to discipline yourself to keep from getting in those situations so you don't wind up getting all banged up. Master Harris and myself, we have gone through a great deal of fighting over the years, and we still stand and we talk and we walk and we live our lives in a healthy manner. There are a lot of people out here that think fighting is about punching, stabbing, shooting, and that's my pride. It's no pride in trying to hurt somebody. You want to let that go.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Great, great. Jamal, you have a comment?
Yeah, I had a quick question because I know all you gentlemen have extensive police force experience. So, of course, you would have weapons training. Like, if you guys got into a situation on the job, would you guys just kind of like, you know what, I'm going to use the martial arts because I have this black belt, or did you guys use your police training and go for your weapon first? Because maybe I was thinking, well, what if we really taught a lot of our police to use martial arts? Would that cut down on a lot of the violence that goes on with police shootings?
Well, to put it simple, martial arts training is not something you can read in a book and acquire overnight. Myself and Master Harris all have years of experience that brought us to where we are. So it's nowhere we can learn in 6 weeks, a year even, what we've acquired over the time of years. So the state of Florida has designed a method that's kind of generic and very basic. So when you portray the steps that they give us to portray, it gives you a format where you go from very subtle to excessive force in a matter of steps. And they do it that way so everybody can be on the same page. I mean, we're all different in size, stature, and attitude. So there's no way you can teach that in the martial arts into a bunch of law enforcement officers. You've got to give them the basics. And if we were all black belts, you'd probably see a whole different police force out there.
Mm-hmm. Interesting comment. Colonel Brown, you want to say something?
Yeah, real quick. Going back to that, in Japan, when I was in Okinawa, the law enforcement there that the Marine Corps trained with, they didn't carry guns. You had to be at least an 8th-degree black belt. You had to master 25 weapons. And so the answer to your question, as far as in Master Foote was saying in law enforcement, when it hits the fan, it hits the fan, and you revert back to your training. And my philosophy was, I'm going to do whatever I got to get home. But if you are trained properly and you have martial arts, you have a discipline. There's plenty of times that people have put weapons on me, knives, chains, or whatever. But we've taken them from them, and we put them down into a three-point pin position and handcuffed them. So the martial art training does come into effect, and it is, I know several times that it has saved me. Going back to, again, I'm want to understand why these gentlemen are here, because these gentlemen are involved into the TINA training, and the difference between regular self-defense classes and the TINA training is that to train by, as you hear, masters, not just any masters.
Grandmasters.
Grandmaster and masters, people with law enforcement background, people with military background. And the combination of what we're doing with the Tina training and the guidance of Miss Tina herself, as far as how to set things up, we're creating a program to protect women, and to protect women from rape and assaults, and that's why Dr. Wills is here. So we want you to know that there are things out there other than counseling and mentorship, but there's also other things out there to help stop preventing rape, and to try to discourage this rape culture. Miss Tina, if you want, would like to, you can show them the tool that was designed exactly from the vision and from the inspiration that you gave to the program.
Yeah, and before we get into all this, I just want to give more of a background, because you guys, you know, long as they know that this is something that's very needed, one, and this is not something we playing with. So to just give you a background as to why, because I always like to give that why as far as from my perspective. Being a woman and have gone through domestic violence myself and rape and all of those things, growing up, there was never anything that I can do in my head to protect myself, in a sense. So one of the things, and we laugh about it on a show a lot, is that I used to, when I was, you know, not too long ago when I was younger, but I used to carry socks and have rocks in it. And that was like my sense of protection, because I used to get bullied a lot in school because I was really, you know, a tiny girl. So one of those things, that was something that I always did. So, you know, fast forward to now is that we've created this patent weapon at this point now. You cannot carry this weapon without being certified and going through these grandmasters per se and carry this weapon. So this is something that we've customized just for women, and this is the only thing that exists at this point for women. There's nothing out there that protects just women. So this is something that, it's not a gun, it's not a knife, but it's something that can allow you to at least defend yourself in a ways where you can at least get away, if that makes any sense. And it's easy to carry. And again, we've customized moves and techniques so that the women can handle this. And it's not so vicious on the woman's body, so to speak. So again, it's customized just for women. And these men, like, if you haven't heard it, they're not to play with. So I've teamed up with the best of the best, and these are grandmaster martial artists. If you don't know what that is, Google, because you'll understand.
I just take the training, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, because the training, Lo, you've taken the training, so you can kind of give people your experience as to the training and what we did, you know, and what was your experience?
Yes, the training is very, I suppose, maybe rigorous. You know, it's a strict training. You know, you can definitely, you know, and you feel comfortable in the hands of these martial art experts. And, you know, it's a lot of, you know, contact made, because you have to practice. It's muscle memory. You have to practice these moves and know certain spots to hit that will, you know, disable or immobilize a person, not necessarily to take them down and to beat them and to hurt them, as Master Foot was saying, but if you have to, then you do that. That's, you're within your right to do that, but it's more so, especially so you can get away and get a way to live another day, you know, and to fight, you know, to live another day, as the added states. But I definitely had a great experience myself.
And we had, like, I think we had almost 10 women that took this training at the time, because we're going to set up another training for, you know, another group of women. But, you know, just like the abbreviations is, it's tactical immediate neutralizing action. So if you just study those words alone, I mean, you can understand the power in that, because sometimes, Lo, you brought up a great point as far as just to get away, you know, because sometimes, you know, women, we're feminine, we're not masculine, we're not built like men. So sometimes we just need something to help us get away.
Right.
And it's like, I'm so humbled that these guys actually, you know, love and adore me so much that right. that they've created this you know, this training and customized moves. Like, these moves are just for this Tina course. That these guys did that, you know, and they didn't have to. But it's all about the belief system, and it's needed because there's nothing out there to protect a woman just to get away.
And to give the listeners, we're on Facebook Live, so Joe is definitely doing work in showing how the Tina, I'm going to call it a product or a weapon. Is
yeah.
it okay?
It's a weapon.
It's a weapon. Yes, yeah. I like
But it looks a little bit like a blackjack.
Right, and this is just the, no? the how do you say
slap
it? The, this is just the first one. So
right.
this was yeah. just
this
one that we
prototype.
Yeah, the
mm-hmm.
prototype. But this is made out of what they make out of bulletproof vests. So it can't pop, it can't bust. And when we're actually using this,
it's a handle
it's,
on it, folks.
I mean, this is no joke when you're using it, because we was using it at the training, and it's no joke.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and Lo was, if y'all hadn't seen the video, I'm going to post the video later. Lo was tearing up them bags.
Well, you know,
took poor Mr. Foot. I felt for you, man.
He had a punch him in the stomach, and I'm like,
yes.
Oh, man.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
But we felt so empowered
mm-hmm.
because, again, we just needed something. Just something.
And would you say, and how I describe it, Tina, as far as the product itself, the weapon itself, is an extension of your arm, of your hand.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
So, and you can actually conceal it. So I think it would be good for people that are looking to conceal, you know, their weapon, just so, you know, you don't know what I'm dealing with, you
mm-hmm.
know, so to give you an edge on me. You know, I can walk around as a realtor and show these houses, which many women
good
do.
Example.
And,
yes.
you know, not be a easy target and have this concealed. So if you come at me wrong, okay, you down on the floor now.
Yeah.
Pick yourself up.
Yeah. Can you say that one more again?
Pick yourself up.
And one quick thing is, so we can understand the importance of this, as I talked to Grandmaster yesterday, we train every week, okay, and there's also going to be some things added to the Tina weapon itself that Grandmaster pointed out to us, and we'll be doing a demonstration of that. But one thing that all the instructors that we saw there and that kind of captivated us, that when these women were using this tool, it seemed like during the process, they were taking something back.
Yes.
There was sort of an anointing, an empowerment, a spirit that came into the training,
yes.
to the dojo. And all of a sudden, it wasn't about a class anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It was like redemption or
yes.
redeeming, or they were building themselves back up. And it was very powerful. And this is where we're trying to take it to another level, because as we all know, that women are the most beautiful creations on the earth, and we need to protect them, and
yes,
they also
are.
Need to protect themselves. And so I want to thank Tina again, and Grandmaster Earl Harris, and,
yes.
and Master Footman. And like she said, you're not going to get this training anywhere else, because this is designed by the masters, for the masters, and for women. And there will be a certification for this. But I just want to let you know, it's not just a self-defense class. It's something special.
Yes.
And I want to thank you for having us here today.
Yeah, and that was one of the things, again, that we experienced at the class, is that once it was all said and done, and, you know, all the ladies and us, we kind of was like woosah a little bit. Like you say, the LDE, I say the LDE, but we felt a sense of power.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I mentioned in the training is that if you just show us what to do,
mm-hmm.
we'll do it. If you create it, we'll come. So it's like, now it's created and you've taught us what to do. Oh, we'll do it. We'll do what we need to do now that we have the tools to protect ourselves. Because sometimes that's all a woman asks for, is just for someone to show us how to protect ourselves, but yet still keep us feminine, because we enjoy being women,
right.
you know? But still, if the time comes, we want to know what to do. And now we got it. Thanks to you guys. Now we got it. What?
Well, welcome. That is awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, this is like so good. So again, you know, I'll probably post it later on, but I'm gonna post a video of Lo, because Lo was tearing it up. We all were scared after Lo got on the back.
We're also high school girls.
Yes,
right.
Yeah, it's across the board. Yeah.
Exactly. And I know for me, it comes from, you know, when I was young, just being a natural athlete, you know, loving to run, loving to play basketball, and so it's a competitive nature. But you know, I have a saying about myself: I really don't compete with anybody else. I compete with myself.
Yes.
So when I'm going hard hard, and you all see me, you know, on video and on footage go in live and going mm-hmm. hard. I'm just competing because I'm trying to make a better me.
Yes.
And that's what motivates me, and that's all I need.
Yep, that know? Is it. That is it. I love it. Got you.
No, we're
okay, go ahead.
All right, and Jamal.
Yeah, yeah, and I was going to say, I was going to sum some things up real quick because this Tina training, you know, with your name's not Hollywood, but we use
it. Is Tina.
It is Tina. But it's Tina. I was saying Tina Hollywood because that ties into what we're talking about with sexual assault. And in Hollywood, mm-hmm. because if old Harvey Weinstein ran up on one of them Tina trained
by hurt. These
grandmasters
over
here.
He would
here,
be hurt.
he would be in a lot of trouble. So it would definitely prevent some situations from happening in the future and hopefully help us move to a new direction regarding how women are treated in cultures such as Hollywood, the workplace, and school.
Yeah, and last night we all went to, like me, you, and Sam, we went to the gala last night at the Gentleman's Course, and I actually had this with me. I carry it everywhere I go.
Right.
But again, leaving an event so late, and I had to, like, I literally had my bag, I would get my bag back up, but I had my handle on my bag, and I was holding my bag like this, but this was inside the bag.
Right.
Because I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was ready, and I remember the moves and the techniques because they're embedded in my brain now. But, I mean, it works.
I think it works. With this training, it teaches women to always be on go.
Always, you know? Yes, yes.
I'm always on go. What's
yes,
up?
And we're going to put it together, a stiletto training as well, because as many of you know, I'm always in heels. So we're going to customize, you know, put a training course together and, you know, put some moves together as to, you know, if you're wearing heels and that whole thing. So,
exactly, yeah. Exactly. Well, thank you so much for, you know, presenting this at the Urban Cafe so all will know and what's coming up. So this is
great. This is exciting.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's a great platform.
Absolutely
that you all
it.
Have, the Tina training. So again,
yes.
I want to thank you all.
I'm on a mission.
So we're going to come back from a quick break, and we're going to start our discussion on sexual violence, sexual harassment, and we're going to have some great guests in here and have a great dialogue coming on. So, Sam, if you will.
When I'm with you, all I get is wild thoughts.
The DSM listed PTSD, and it can occur after someone has gone through or sees or learn about a traumatic event. They listed combat exposure, child sexual physical abuse, or a natural disaster.
About 8% of men who go through a trauma will develop PTSD, and about 20% of women will experience trauma.
Because this is such an under-recognized problem, in our primary care settings, we screen every veteran for these potential symptoms of PTSD.
WMNF,
Tampa.
This is Val Trenda from the Urban Cafe, and on behalf of the Urban Cafe, we'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us every single Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on Facebook Live. For those who join us early, thank you so much for not missing one moment of our fun and excitement. We also want to thank those for sharing, because sharing the page allows others to catch the show at a later time. Thank you for those who comment. All of your comments are appreciated, and you know we read some of them on the air. We want to thank those for liking the Urban Cafe page, because it tells Facebook how popular we are becoming.
On Friday, January 19th, WMNF presents Songs from the Attic. Four great Tampa Bay singer-songwriters will entertain you with their music and stories in the intimate new listening room venue in Ybor City, The Attic. Artists include Matt Burke from Half Gun Will Travel.
Now we're standing at the end of the world, my friend.
Rebecca Pulley.
Not your girlfriend anymore. And I don't wanna be your drum.
Christopher James. Exciting newcomer, Siobhan Philidor.
I don't even know how love goes.
A great evening of original music and storytelling in a brand new venue for a WMNF show. On Friday, January 19th at The Attic at Rock Brothers Brewing in Ybor City. Tickets are $12 in advance and $15 on the day of the show. For more information, visit WMNF.org.
Happy New Year from all of us at WMNF. We are happy because our amazing supporters pushed us over our goal for the end of the year. That should make you happy. Thanks for all you do for your station. Support WMNF comes from our members in Tampa Theater presenting Darlene Love Live on stage on Thursday, January 18th. Love will perform some of her most celebrated songs from the past 60 years, including Christmas Baby, Please Come Home, and He's a Rebel. Tickets at tampatheater.org.
All right. Good morning. Good morning again. You are tuning into the Urban Cafe, and we are live in studio on this Sunday morning.
Live and in the flesh.
Easy like a Sunday morning. I'm going to be jamming
easy
that
like
when
a
I
Sunday morning. Oh, I remember that song. Yeah.
Is that?
That's a Commodores.
Oh. Commodores, yeah.
That's an Alpha. Alpha man.
We didn't ask all that.
Lionel Richie Alpha.
I actually got
to see them with Lionel Richie.
Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, cool. Yeah. All right. I wouldn't mind seeing Lionel in person.
Really? I don't get any credit.
Well, again, we are back, and we are ready to start this discussion.
Yes.
Full throttle. Let's get in. And so we're going to start off. What I want to go ahead and just recap a little bit as far as the, and maybe have it defined as far as sexual harassment for those that need a refreshing or maybe didn't view or listen to the last show. So we're going to go ahead and key that in. Cue it up.
It is unlawful to harass a person because of that person's sex. Harassment can include sexual harassment or unwelcome sexual advances, requests for sexual favors, and other verbal or physical harassment of a sexual nature. Harassment does not have to be of a sexual nature, however, and can include offensive remarks about a person's sex. For example, it is illegal to harass a woman by making offensive comments about women in general. Both victims, now we know that's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Both victim and the harasser can be either a woman or a man, and the victim and harasser can be the same sex. Although the law doesn't prohibit simple teasing, offhand comments, or isolated incidents that are not very serious, harassment is illegal when it is so frequent or severe that it creates a hostile or offensive work environment, or when it results in an adverse employment decision, such as the victim being fired or demoted. The harasser can be the victim's supervisor, a supervisor in another area, a coworker, or someone who is not an employee of the employer, such as a client or customer. And this is EEOC. The reason why it's from the vantage point of work is that it's the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an employment-based definition.
All right. So there we have the definition of sexual harassment. And I believe that was Angela Rye giving that definition. And I wanted to throw back to Colonel Brown because he did a great job last time giving an understanding of sexual battery, sexual harassment, and how it varies and it's different. So if you will, Colonel.
Yes. For the clarification, the topic would be sexual abuse. Under sexual abuse, you will have sexual assault, and you will have sexual battery, and then you have the actual rape. The difference between the assault and the battery is that you're actually doing the physical touching or the attempt. The assault is the attempt, the actual touching of a person without their permission in a sexual manner. It's the battery, and the rape is the actual penetration.
And that penetration can be by the physical organ, sort of, and it could be, you know, with a tool. So sodomy,
yes,
you know, that is also considered rape.
Yes, ma'am.
As well. And I just want to know if Dr. Marquita Wills, if she wanted to add to that.
Yeah. One of the things that, thank you so much for allowing me to be here today.
Of course.
Of the things that I wanted to talk about was that oftentimes people think that it's about sexual desires that are causing these types of behaviors. But what we found is that it really is aggressive power plays. And it's ways that people are exerting their own personal power over others. And you have to stop and sort of say to yourself, well, why would somebody want to do that? Why would they want to do that? And when you get into the mind of someone who is perpetrating these types of crimes, oftentimes it's been done to them. And they are finding ways to get back subconsciously. And so these are the behaviors that they know, the behaviors that they've learned, and they go out and do these behaviors, inflict these behaviors on other people. So oftentimes we talk about it as if it's about sex, mm-hmm. when really it's about power. And I think when we shift the construct and the conversation and look at it that way, we can then be able to unpack and get underneath solutions for ferreting this out of our culture.
Great. Well, again, you are tuning in to the Urban Cafe, WMNF 88.5, and we are discussing the topic of sexual abuse, sexual violence, and basically trying to, you know, peel back the onion, as to say, and really get to the root cause of this so we can, you know, try to develop a proper and effective solution going forward, at least understanding in of the way that we should be treating each other and so forth on. So what I want to get into now is the cultural norms of this type of behavior, of sexual misconduct. And I do believe that there are cultural norms, and my definition of a cultural norm may be different from someone else's definition of a cultural norm. What I did want to start off with as far as how I'm looking at cultural norm in this conversation, and I addressed this with some of the people from the crew, a cultural norm can be something like, you know, the Italians and how they kiss each other on the mouths. And we were talking about the men, you know, and however in the American society, that's taboo. You know, in the black culture, it's definitely taboo for a black man to kiss another black man on the mouth and just be a form of embrace. Mm-hmm. Another cultural norm for me in America particularly is the standard handshake. And that standard handshake will be in a professional setting or just in a social setting. You know, not each, all times will you greet with a hug of embrace, like, you know, that church hug, you know? I got to kind of lean out a little bit, you know, and get all up on the pastor.
Your waist out.
But the standard handshake, and what I wanted to bring about is that what I've experienced as a woman is that there's men, and I feel that that's where that power play comes in, and just a bit of creepiness that happens in my experience as far as when I would go to do a standard handshake and I'm being caressed and massaged, you know, in a manner as if it's, I take it as it being salacious, you know, mm-hmm. and it's, to me, I'm disgusted by it. You know, you've taken the normalcy and my trust that I'm just going to extend my greeting to you and it be within boundaries and in a proper manner. And you've taken that and you've perverted it, you know. And if I will, if I can, Joe, if you can go ahead, I want to do again with Tina and kind of show how this can happen. So in this moment, what I'm doing for the Facebook, for the radio listeners, I am demonstrating. So if you can go back on Facebook or go on Facebook at a later point in time, you'll be able to see as a visual what this can look like. So as I'm reaching in to give Tina, you know, a handshake, I'm massaging and caressing, you know, and she's pulling back, you know, and that is something that is inappropriate and, you know, outside of boundaries of a person. So mm-hmm. if men, if you're out there doing that, that is being perverted. And that's not, you know, the way to handle and treat a person or treat a lady. That is something that is stepping over the boundaries.
You know, and thinking of that, I'm thinking, and I don't want to be like an ageist, but I see a lot of old guys do that. It's like 40 or 50 and up, and they do that, and I watch, and they do it with a lot of women, and I'm thinking like,
no, he's correct.
Yeah, he's right. Older. He's correct. Right.
I'm trying to think. I'm 35 years old. I can't think of no one in my generation doing that, 35 or under, but a lot of older gentlemen, especially people, whether it's the boss, someone in power, the pastor, and they do that quite a bit. It's interesting.
Well, yeah. I think when you see older guys who are doing things like that, and back in the day, and again, to back up Dr. Marquita, 40s and 50s is not old, but a lot of older...
Speak up there.
A lot of older gentlemen did that because that was their way of flirting. that was their way of getting to know women. They would, you know, you remember the movie Ray, you know, he was blind.
Yes.
But his way to get to know, to see how, in his mind, how a woman would look was how she felt.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of gentlemen like to feel women's hands to see how soft or gentle she is. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's why they did it. That's why Jamal's saying that.
But I do want to interject and take away the uses of the word gentleman.
Yeah.
Because in that regard, Ray Charles, even with Ray Charles being blind, he is still violating a woman if she does not have an expectation that that's going to happen and she has not consented to it. But, you know, we're talking about a movie, we're talking about what he did and talking about the normalization of society as well. But just to bring out your point even more, that is improper behavior for whatever age you are, older men, to sit and caress a woman when she's greeting you.
Can I say, is it, and it's obviously creepy, but is it sexual harassment or sexual harassment? Or do we see it as a stepping stone effect?
Sexual battery. That's the unlawful touching because the thing is, if we have a cultural norm of just straight business where we shake hands and you are doing all of this, I mean, I'm thinking, I've never shook a woman's hand. I never even thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you meet someone, like, let's say you meet somebody's wife or significant other, and you guys are real good friends, or you meet a lady for the first time and you take and kiss her hand real politely. But if someone is caressing your hand, I mean, that's when like, you know, you got to pull out the Tina over there. And be like,
okay,
but just to piggyback a little bit off of that, it's like, much like, you know, Dr. Wells had stated early on, is that it's a violation, period.
Right.
You know, it's uncomfortable. You know, it's not a feeling you desire from that individual, so to speak. You know, so, you know, sometimes we have to take the visual of, you know, the shaking of the hand and the touching of my shoulder a certain way, because it's a feeling behind that. And there's a violation behind that. So with that feeling and that violation, you are now making me uncomfortable in my space. Mm-hmm. So if we bring it down to just the simple fact of making me uncomfortable and stopping it there, before you touch me, before you walk into my, you know, my space, does that make any sense?
Of course.
You know,
well, that makes sense though.
I know we're going to get into this later, but how do we define these cultural, these traditions and cultural norms and cultural mores and stuff?
Colonel,
like,
Brown, yeah, something you want to say.
Yeah, well, and I even had another question. Can you imagine a scenario, and maybe I'm sort of just playing devil's advocate a bit here, but ladies, can you imagine a scenario where you would actually invite that kind of contact from someone?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Where would that be? What would make it different? What would the cultural norms around that situation be where you could say, hey, it actually wouldn't be bad if somebody were to do that to me. I actually think that that would be polite, and I don't know.
So, yeah, so it does vary as far as individual, because every woman is different,
right?
You know? So it's like, oh, that may not bother me too much, because it's like, all right, you're a freak and you're nasty, all right, and I blow it off.
But the other woman may
take it and she may be uncomfortable. So again, you have to go into what works for you.
Right.
If someone's entering your space and you're comfortable or uncomfortable, let it be known.
It's all about boundaries.
How do we know that? See, I'm trying to figure out.
So why? A reaction.
Right.
Sometimes you,
but it's
if
too
you
late.
Watch,
it's too late. Once I get a reaction, I've already crossed that boundary.
I think you need to err on the safe side, as far as maybe, you know, greet her properly the first time around, and then maybe, you know, as you all have a dialogue and you kind of look at the body language, then maybe you can kind of move it onto a little flirty.
But that's my point. How culturally literate do we need to be?
This is my thing, Sam.
I'm playing devil's advocate here, but
right.
If you meet someone on their first initial reaction, I don't care if I'm single or girls buy me a drink somewhere, she's looking at me like, this is our first interaction.
Right.
We haven't danced, we haven't had any intimate contact. So for me, no matter what kind of look she's giving me, to take that step, you know, that's a bit much.
Right. So here's what Dr. Marquita is saying, is that what are some women doing that would invite a man to do, right? But here's the thing, you're a different type of man. Some men, depending on how they were raised, depending on what environment they were in, and how old they're, whatever,
maturity,
all of that plays into how they respond to you sitting over there giving him the eye, offering him a drink. So he might think
oh, it's okay to go over there and shake her hand and massage it. Right. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. He might think that it's okay because of all of those things that are in the background.
Right.
Like I said, you're a different type of man. Not every man responds that way.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask the ladies here because, you know, I've been married 24 years and I don't play about my wife. I don't care who it is.
I know that's right.
I had a relative of mine when he came over to the house and he hugged my wife and he kissed on the forehead. I said, something wrong with your lips. You know, so,
you know, I hear
what y'all saying, but just like men, we know when the man's trying to be slick, just like a woman. Know when a woman trying to be slick.
Exactly, exactly. That's true. Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you because I had my wife tell me I shook a woman's hand and then she put a finger in my hand and did like that.
That's a signal.
And I was like, you know, what was that?
We used to
do that in the hood.
If I shake